Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to TC Live. The current Queen of Clay has a new conquest. Iga Swiatek reigns supreme in Spain for the first time. The world number one serves up some revenge against Aryna Sabalenka to take the trophy in Madrid, her ninth at this level. Swiatek has now won her last eight finals and reasserts her dominance on the road to Roland Garros. Come on in. What a match we just witnessed. Steve Weissman, alongside Chanda Rubin, the Hall of Famer Andy Roddick, over on the big screen, went to a final set tiebreak. This lived up to all the hype and then some. Chanda, what's your instant reaction to what we just saw?
I'm just so thankful that we get such good value between these top two players. The fact that we got them into a big final like this was the first step. The fact that they played this kind of incredible tennis, really from the start of the match to the finish, you know, we saw some nerves at times. We saw them both rise to the occasion. And in the end, it was just so impressive. The finish down the stretch in that tiebreak was good all the way around.
I want to remind everybody, we will head back to Madrid. Do not worry. We'll hear from both players during the trophy presentation. We'll have all of that for you on TC Live. But Andy, your thoughts on what you just saw?
Yeah, it's so great when the match and the level exceeds the hype. And that's tough to do when one is playing against two. And the best rivalries that we've had throughout the history of tennis and the most enjoyable to the eye are when you have contrasting styles. And sure, these two women like to stay back. They're both baseliners, but they do it in completely different ways, right? Sabalenka is pure raw power, will step up and hit her shot in the biggest moment, where Iga's, their shot profiles are so different. Iga gets a lot more height. Her movement, especially on clay, is so fluent. So this matchup is just, it never disappoints. It's always just a 10 out of 10.
So playing off of that, Chanda, what was the difference in this match for Iga Swiatek? Because it was very small.
You know, I think it really just came down to maybe that little extra bravery in a couple of moments, maybe a little bit more guts in terms of the way Iga Swiatek was able to continue to go after her shots in the face of the power from Sabalenka. I mean, we know Sabalenka is going to keep firing. She's going to keep going for it. It was impressive that she missed so few shots playing that kind of tennis. And you can understand why Swiatek, the emotion, how big a moment this was for her. She's won multiple majors, but this Madrid title, I'd probably for her put it up there with so many of the moments, the big moments she's had in her career so far. But I was just impressed with how she stayed the course, and she, you know, she didn't shy away from the pace and what was coming at her from Sabalenka, and just matched her in the most critical moments in that match.
Andy, one thing that Mark Pecci said during the commentary that really resonated with me, that both of these players do not lose their identity during the most pressure-packed moments.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Yeah, and listen, unforced errors is sometimes a deceiving stat, but every single error that these two made today, or 90% of them, were because they were trying to do something because the other player was forcing them to do it, right? Swiatek goes backhand line more often against Sabalenka because she knows she can't give up the middle of the court. Sabalenka on the full run will go for broke more than she has to against other players. So even their misses were dictated by the greatness that they were seeing across the net. So I think that's a spot-on comment by Pech. You know, they know what they do well. They're committed to what they do well. And it is just fascinating to see the chess match. And then also, listen, they know what they have to do to win, but also just having to execute it is the hard part. This was so much fun to watch.
And having to do it over 3 hours as well. Because remember, Aryna Sabalenka had played a lot of long matches. Iga Swiatek had not. And now, look at the amount of titles that Iga Świątek has already accumulated at her age. I mean, just 22 years of age, 20-plus titles before turning 23, Chanda.
This puts her in amongst an incredible list of players, of course, with Serena Williams there, Kim Clijsters at the top, Anna Sharapova, Caroline Wozniacki, who's still out there as well, potentially trying to win more titles. But Świątek, at such a young age, putting herself in the conversation in terms of these Hall of Fame stats. I mean, we know she is a Hall of Famer across the board, but it's just impressive to watch her continue to have this motivation to do it all. And that type of match was so much fun to watch, and she's got to be sky high now, you know, just going into Roland Garros with how she played there down the stretch, conditions that maybe didn't favor her as much as it did Sabalenka in terms of the speed and the pace of conditions, and she found her way through it.
Has won 8 straight finals in a row, Andy. So a big-time closer, first player to do that since Iga did it back 2020 to 2022. That's why she's gotten so many titles at the age of 22. What makes her such a good closer?
Well, listen, she has that, like, Federer thing that once she gets ahead, it's kind of like a runaway train, right? But also, you show the 20 titles in that stat, and she's not hiding any weak titles. You know, 13 of those are either slams or Masters 1000 titles, right? And you mentioned the fitness. These ladies played for 3+ hours physical. There were no easy points. Sabalenka coming off of long matches all week. The fitness level was astounding today, I thought, especially for Sabalenka coming in. She had a heavy workload this week, and you don't see these two ever get tired. Like, we don't talk about that enough. We don't give them enough credit. That's not an accident. That is weeks and years of preparation to get them into these moments, to give themselves a shot. No losers here today, even though someone came in second.
Yeah, fitness, endurance, physical, and mental over 3 hours of tennis today at the highest levels. A reminder, we will get you back out to Madrid for the trophy presentation. We will hear from Aryna Sabalenka and Iga Świątek, but let's show you how it all went down. A rematch from last year. The final, we are running it back between these two, and wow, this was special.
Yeah, so often the first set it dictates who is going to eventually win the match. It's such an advantage. And we saw Świątek fighting so hard to get this first set tucked away. It went back and forth. We saw some breaks of serve. But Świątek there, that's an indicator of how big she knew it was to get that 7-5 first set. But Sabalenka right here was so impressive. It looked like perhaps Świątek was going to get that second set and she was going to walk away in straights. But Sabalenka put the brakes on in terms of Świątek's game, and she went forward in the big moments. This was a massive forehand. We saw so many of these time and time again. Even down the stretch in the third, getting to a tiebreak, Sabalenka kept going for it. She missed a couple. That was championship points. She would have 2 of them in this 5-6 game. But Świątek showing nerves of steel to keep her foot on the gas. And in the tiebreak down the stretch, when Świątek faced another championship point, she was able to hold her ground. She would have a couple, and on her second, Świątek getting the miss. This was a huge effort, not just physical, but mental and emotional as well. And Świątek, she comes through it in a big way.
That's the type of reaction you see after you win a Grand Slam title. And that is exactly what we saw from Iga Świątek on court. You knew what this meant to her, had never won Madrid before. She gets that title. They are in the middle of the trophy presentation right now. Let's hear from the runner-up, Aryna Sabalenka.
Entrega de premios, llamando en primer lugar a la finalista del cuadro WTA del Mutua Madrid Open 2024, Aryna Sabalenka.
Is it working? Yeah, it's working. Well, I mean, I don't know. Last month's been kind of like intense for me and feels like I haven't been on stage for forever. So I don't know. I'm speechless right now. But thank you so much for such an incredible tournament. Always enjoy my time here. Thank you so much for the atmosphere. You guys make this place very special for me, and I enjoy playing. I enjoy playing in front of you all, and I just try to make this match as long as possible, to enjoy as long as I can this beautiful court and atmosphere. I actually supposed to start from Iga, actually. Sorry, see, I'm lost a little bit, but congrats on another great tournament for you. You guys did an incredible job, and hopefully next year it goes to me. Okay. Yeah, I agree on that one. Great play, great match, and yeah, wow, 3 hours. That's a long one. Hopefully we'll recover fast for the next tournament. Wish us luck, guys. Thank you so much to my incredible team. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I have the best team. We've been through a lot, and you're always there for me. You're always supporting me, and you always keep me going. Thank you so much, and I love you.
Entrega el trofeo de finalista Ignacio Garralda, presidente de Mutua Madrileña, a Arina Zabalenka. Y ahora sí, vamos con la ganadora de este año del Mutua Madrid Open 2024 en categoría femenina. Iga Swiatek.
Hello again. Okay, I felt like I already gave a pretty nice speech, but let's try again. Arina, too many more finals. Always, you know, a challenge playing against you, so thanks for also motivating me and forcing me to be a better player. Okay, yes. I want to thank my team. It's, oh my god, like, I've had pretty, you know, nice speeches before, so I don't know what else to say to make it feel special, but I think what you saw on court was pretty special anyway, so thank you guys for sticking with me through ups and downs, for understanding and for motivating me, because without you, you know, I wouldn't be here without each of you and your knowledge, so I hope we're gonna, you know, continue progressing, because that's the most important thing at the end. Yes, and I want to thank my family who's watching, my sponsors, tournament sponsors, everybody who's making this tournament possible, also volunteers, ball kids, sorry for mean faces sometimes, and yeah, let's, oh, and thank you guys, sorry, I'm too tired, thank you for watching till the end and for amazing atmosphere. As I said, it's always a pleasure to be back in Madrid, so I'll be already looking forward for next year, and yeah, have a good evening.
Y ahora Inmaculada Sanz, vicealcaldesa de Madrid, y Gardiñe Muguruza entregan conjuntamente el trofeo de ganadora a Iga Swiatek.
Well, a good evening indeed for Iga Swiatek. Gets that big trophy for the first time. I think both players certainly a little bit tired. 3 hours, 11 minutes on court in this championship match. Third time these two have met in a final, 10th time meeting overall. Nearly 50 finals between these two on tour. And Chanda, this was the first one that reached a final set tie break.
It's incredible to think about that when you consider the competitive matches that they have had. They've gone deep into the third set, but this was certainly one for the ages. We see Garbiñe Muguruza there giving the trophy away. Nice to see her back on court. But incredible stuff down the stretch. And the match wasn't scary, but that was.
Wasn't expecting. She didn't know.
But it's pretty phenomenal when you consider this match, how deep it went, how intense it was, and both players still finding their best tennis, intentional, mentally, about every shot. And you know, Iga Świątek. It's understandable that the speeches, they'd be a little tired, wouldn't know, wouldn't remember who to thank, but incredible stuff that the fans were just treated to.
What do you make of that, Andy, the fact that the first time, I mean, this rivalry is heating up right now between these two to go to a deciding set tiebreak?
Yeah, there wasn't anything between them today. It was almost, you know, fittingly representative of the match that we just saw. And if you're Iga Świątek, you haven't gotten to your best clay court of the year yet, right? You've played indoors in Stuttgart, which can be a bit of an equalizer. You've played in fast air in Madrid. Now you have Rome and Roland Garros coming. So if you're Iga, you have to be feeling great about what you've been able to do in the clay courts that are maybe less than perfect for your game, and you're still kind of separated as the best clay court player. And Sabalenka, you've re-entered the conversation, right? No one ever knew you were gone, but after Australia, you've gone through some personal things, lack of matches. You're right back there. Perfect week for Sabalenka, even better week for Iga Świątek. I can't wait for them to show down in Rome again.
Right. What's your biggest takeaway for Aryna Sabalenka from today?
Yeah, I think it's a good point Andy makes that Sabalenka was a bit quiet, you know, certainly after Australia in terms of the back-to-back wins, in terms of just being in the conversation at the end of events. And this puts her squarely back in it. We saw some of the signs at the start of this clay court swing. But this match, even though she lost it, she showed some incredible fortitude. The way she was able to continue to hit through pressure, get a little more margin on her shots, make so many balls going for it, I think that is going to put her back on the minds of a lot of people, certainly the players against the field. They've got to really take note of her coming on the red clay because this was an incredible performance.
Yeah, that's such a good point because, I mean, she mentioned it in the speech as well. She's been through a lot recently, off court as well as on court. And so for a loss, maybe if she hadn't been through that, Andy, this wouldn't be as big of a win for her. But because of that, even, you know, pushing the player that's won more in clay than anybody else of recent to this type of final, can really, she can take a lot of positives out of this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, aside from getting 1 point further, this is a 10 out of 10, right? You came in. We know how good Sabalenka's top line is, but you have to be able to play. You have to play matches. You have to play with a bit of consistency. Obviously, she hasn't gotten that post to Australia for extremely understandable reasons. But if you're her, you're feeling, okay, I've turned it back in right now. I'm in the conversation again in a place. I pushed Iga Świątek. That has to be its own confidence mechanism. I look for to her in Rome to continue. And instead of going 4-3 early on in tournaments, I look for her to start rolling, maybe saving that body a little bit because she's found that confidence and form.
This is Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. And Iga Świątek, we got some graphics because on clay, she is an absolute Jedi. She has now won 44% of the titles on clay that she has entered. Now, by the way, this graphic, I have to point out, Chanda, that it makes Chris Evert just like an absolute goat.
It's sick, Steve, when you consider these numbers. And Świątek really just getting started. You figure that percentage is going to rise as she continues to play deep into her career. But yes, Chrissy Evert at almost 70%. I mean,
that's
what
insane.
Are you talking about? Of clay court tournaments.
That she entered in life.
I mean, just games. I want to win that many games, let alone tournaments. Come on. That's crazy stuff.
Yeah, and one of the craziest things with Iga, when she broke out, I think she won the fall edition of the French Open 1 year. But that was her first tournament that she had won. So you're going, okay, is she going to be able to back this up? What is her top line? We know she's good on clay. And what has she done since then? She's become, you know, she's on the trajectory of being one of the best players of all time, in no uncertain terms, with no hyperbole attached. She is on that trajectory currently, especially at 22, with the numbers she's adding up, even to be in that graphic with people like Graf and Navratilova, and Chrissy on clay is just absurd. But also, like, not shocking when you see it up there. Like, you feel that's how dominant she is on this surface.
And she's now won 31% of the 1,000-level events that she has entered. That's number one
crazy.
In history. I know that only dates back to 2009, but Iga Świątek already at the top of that list. And talk about Chrissy, her and Martina, the only ones that have met more on clay in the last 40 years than Aryna Sabalenka and Iga Świątek. We have got a special rivalry that continued in Madrid today. Iga Świątek kissing that trophy for the very first time. Much more to come here on TC Live as we discuss the top women's players that have been dominating at the biggest events and the best rivalries on tour. What it means on the road to Roland.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Andy Chan to Steve back on TC Live, reminding you Tennis Channel, TC Plus, and T2 will once again bring you extensive daily live coverage from Roland Garros, Iga Swiatek, and Novak Djokovic, your returning champs. TC Live has a preview show on Saturday, May 25th. Live play begins Sunday, May 26th, 5 a.m. Eastern. Iga Swiatek, your back-to-back returning champion there. Let's take a look at the last eight major champs on the women's side. We've got three for Iga Swiatek, two for Aryna Sabalenka, and then one each for Coco Gauff, Elena Rybakina, and Markéta Vondrousova. So seven of the last eight champs are from the top four in the current rankings. Chanda, is Iga kind of, has she separated herself in this kind of race in terms of major champs, or how close are we, or how close is everybody else?
You know, I think that match we just saw is an indicator that Iga Swiatek hasn't separated herself anymore, but I think she is still keeping herself out front. Mm. She's still keeping her nose just ahead of the field, certainly on the clay courts, and the fact that she's been able to hold on to the number one ranking for this long, over 100 weeks now at number one, which is another ridiculous number, with the players like Sabalenka and Rybakina on her heels, Coco Gauff as well, right behind. But I think it impresses even more when you consider the test that Swiatek is having to go through in some of these matches, and she's still finding a way through a lot of them.
None of the rivalries are like Drake and Kendrick Lamar, but Andy, when we take a look at them, there are some interesting matchups between these players, because you have a Coco Gauff who has a winning record against two of the top three right now, and Elena Rybakina and Aryna Sabalenka, but has absolutely been dominated by Iga Swiatek. You see Sabalenka leading the rivalry with Elena Rybakina, but Swiatek now increasing her lead over Sabalenka. What do you make of these rivalries?
Yeah, Swiatek responds to a loss about as quickly as Kendrick responds to Drake when they're going at each other. But listen, I think Swiatek, what it is she's the most consistent player, right? I think the top line of Rybakina, the top line of Sabalenka match up pretty well with Iga. She just has less peaks and valleys, right? She's the most consistent player week in and week out. She's in the conversation on the short list of favorites on every surface except maybe grass. At this point. And then, you know, you can't discount what Coco did last summer to insert herself in the conversation. But I think she's kind of been a distant fourth so far this year. And I'm sure she would probably tell you the same thing. But, you know, high-level Rybakina, high-level Sabalenka, I think are right there. It's just January through November, Iga is the most consistent.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we look at those numbers, obviously you look at, you know, when they last played, what surfaces they played on. There's a lot that you can take away from the individual matchups, and some of them have been very tightly contested as well. I think those top three, which Swiatek, Sabalenka, and Rybakina, those are the three that are really going toe-to-toe more often than not, and especially this season, we're seeing it. Gauff is just behind them. She's putting herself more into the conversation, but it's those three that you sort of look at as the rivalries. And the one that we just saw here, which Swiatek and Sabalenka, I mean, that's the one for me that I take the most note of, partly because they're slightly different in terms of their styles. They both hit the ball. They both look to dictate. But Andy mentioned it at the beginning of the show, in very different ways. Just the way they produce their shots, the trajectories, you know, the shot making that you will see. It's very different, but they complement each other. And I think it makes for terrific matches each and every time they play. So that's the one that kind of stands out when we look at that board. But Rybakina's right there, and she's been fun to watch as well this season in particular.
It was an exciting semifinal. I mean, yeah. some could argue she should have won that match. Yeah. She did not. We always have recency bias, Andy, so we're coming off of an absolute instant classic. But which of those matchups, as a fan, do you enjoy watching the most?
Oh, gosh, that's tough. I think probably the one that we saw, just because of what Chanda said. You know, there are just some that are really fun to watch. You know, the Agassi-Sampras, where they're contrasting styles, the lefty-righty of a Fed Nadal or a Martina and Chrissy. I remember watching Gabby Sabatini and Steffi Graf back in the day, and because they were so different, it was so fun to watch, even though Steffi was pretty dominant in that matchup. So I think Świątek and Sabalenka, there's not often much between them, and they can just provide instant classics, right? Obviously, Coco is electric in any matchup when she's playing well. And I think she's second serve consistency from inserting herself back into this conversation. You know, but there's not much between them. But listen, the fact that we're having this conversation and we're confused by our own answers means that we are so lucky to be watching the top four play and each win slams and trade them off. And the fact that we change our answer every 4 to 6 weeks is great.
Yeah, totally. We're in such a good spot in women's tennis right now. Those are the top four, Chanda. Who do you think could enter that conversation throughout the rest of this year?
That's a good question as we take a look at this list. I've been impressed this year with Maria Sakkari. I think she has made some real strides, certainly from the start of the season where it was a real struggle, you know, to now. I think there's a possibility she could kind of force her way into that conversation with how well she has played against those top three, top four players that we're talking about. But, you know, you look at this list and, you know, Yelena Ostapenko, who hits the ball huge.
Undefeated against Iga Świątek.
Gives Świątek everything she can handle. I mean, she sometimes can really upset the apple cart. But I would say consistently, if we look at that list, I'd probably say Sakkari, potentially, apart from Jessie Pegula, who's been right there in terms of three in the world and can go toe-to-toe with anybody. Pegula's been just a little bit quiet. So I'd say between those two, Pegula and Sakkari, potentially, they could upset, you know, some numbers there.
Who do you think, Andy?
Yeah, I like the Pegula call. You know, I she just hasn't really gotten going this year, right? She had an early exit in Australia, a coaching change, now dealing with a little bit of an injury on the heels of Billie Jean King Cup. But when she's in full flight, watch out for her on the grass. You know, we forget conveniently that she was up big on Vondrousova last year at Wimbledon. I think her game and her shot profile, you know, kind of flat through the court, can switch directions. I think grass and Pegula are a great fit. The other one that I have written down here is Mira Andreeva, right? Mm. It's just a matter of how quickly she develops physically, right? I think her tennis IQ, the way she's able to switch directions against players that can't out and out overpower her is almost unmatched in women's tennis, but you can still bully her around the court, right? She is not as strong as a Rybakina or a Sabalenka or a Świątek or a Coco at this point. Now, you know, 17 and 6 months, you can look completely different, right? When you get a hold of your fitness and everything. So watch out for Andreeva too, when she makes her move.
Oh yeah, big fan, just 17 years old, but she will be entering the conversation. Queen Wen, for me, is somebody that I think could make a breakthrough the rest of the year. And the way that Danielle Collins has been playing over the past couple months, you know, why not? Why not? Will Iga finish the season, do you think, at number one? It's gonna be 102 weeks now at the top spot for Iga Świątek on Monday.
I think she does. Yeah. I think she finishes the year at number one again. Will she hold that top spot through every single week for the rest of the season? I would probably lean yes this year, and especially because of what we just saw, especially because of where she is at this time of year. If she can continue to have that type of play at Roland Garros, the rest of the year becomes great. We kind of talked about that a little bit. There are some opportunities for Świątek to add to the tally. So I think for that reason, I would say yes.
Yeah, made the quarterfinals at Wimbledon for the first time last year, Andy, and just the fourth round at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, she doesn't have – it's crazy to say you're number one and you don't have, like, the massive results to defend either. You know, but listen, when we have this conversation, I end up kind of going to who would I want to bet against the least? Mm. And Iga, because of her consistency, because of her dominance on clay, the ability to put up massive results at Masters 1000s, and the fact that she had a pretty ordinary – U.S. hardcourt season against her own shadow last year, I think she's number one this year.
And that said, Aryna Sabalenka has still been the most consistent player at the Slams, making at least the semifinals for the last six majors. So who knows? But we're in a good spot because we got a lot of great players. And we got a lot more to get to here on TC Live. When we come back, the highly anticipated, often imitated, but never duplicated, best of the best ladies edition from Madrid. Welcome back. This was the first tournament with new doubles rules that encouraged single stars to play, Andy, and that's exactly what they got. Seb Korda and Jordan Thompson playing for the first time together took out the top seeds in the first round and just rolled from there.
Yeah, and a lot of the doubles players were upset. Too many entries for the singles guys. Unproven. We do this every week. So what happened, Steve? The singles guys playing together for the first time, most likely because of this new rule, go ahead and win the tournament, making that argument even tougher for the doubles guys. This was a grueling match, hour and 15. Most of the doubles matches averaged an hour and 10 minutes this week, so they absolutely, it was a physical battle, Steve. But Thompson and Korda, they absolutely knew what they were doing. You're going to win this baseline rally here, I promise you. In the net, Korda was there anyways, and title count for the singles guys.
They dropped just one set all tournament. Their slogan has been shake and bake on the court. They said they will race into Rome and run it back there, so we'll see what happens. Those 5 extra minutes on court,
Jada. That was grueling.
That was grueling.
I totally agree.
Nice to see Seb Korda with a trophy at the end of the event. Two-week event, our incredible production team here, some extra time to compile the very best shots, prettiest points, and resplendent rallies. We call it best of the best. Let's count it down 5-1. WTA edition, Chanda, starting with Aryna Sabalenka.
You know, we got to get one of these points in there. This is an incredible match, and it was Sabalenka on her way to making an incredible turnaround, and she comes up with this backhand shot, had Rybakina on the full stretch going behind her. This is pretty sweet, especially because of the moment.
Moment makes it massive. At number four, Andy, Marketa Vondrousova near court against Shelby Rogers in the second round.
Yeah, and she's just looking for the opportunity. Great return by Shelby. Says, I'm coming in right there. If you don't put it away, the line is open, Shelby. Cover it. Nope, didn't do it. Didn't do it. It was there the whole time. Right about there, Shelby knew that it wasn't going to end well. Right about there, Steve.
All right. I wanted more from that one. Number three, Elena Rybakina, near court, Chanda, against Yulia Putintseva in the quarterfinals. This was down match point.
You got more right here, Steve. Double match point. Rybakina barely gets to that drop shot and flicks it, not only with an incredible cross-court angle, but it kisses the net, Steve, and it messes Putintseva up even more. She was almost livid after this point, and she would go on to lose the match. But what an incredible shot from Rybakina. Nothing Putintseva could do about it.
The moment. That was a big moment, huh?
Another big moment.
On Jabeur, far court against Anna Karolina Shmidlova. Second round. Jabeur always with a little bit of sorcery in the magic box, Andy.
Yep, hits one of the worst drop shots he's ever hit and one of the best passing shots she's ever hit, Steve. It was a weird combo. She lobbed a drop shot and then picked off. Look at how high that was. She could have caught that in the air. But this one made up for it, Steve.
It had a little backspin, Andy. Had a little backspin.
She was just setting herself up for the hot
shot. It needed it. It needed the backspin.
Shocker of the day, Chanda. At number one, Nadia Podoroska.
Podoroska is a terrific athlete, and we don't often give her the credit, but we're going to give her the credit today, Steve, because she is number one in the best of the best. This little tweener off the lob, able to hit the tweener, and she makes it look easy.
That's sweet. That's what I was looking for. No, that's what I've been waiting for. Number one, best of the best. I feel it. We are getting word that Iga Świątek going to join Prakash Amitraj at our Tennis Channel desk in Madrid momentarily. We'll get you back out there to hear from Iga. But first, yesterday we told you Carlos Alcaraz had pulled out of Rome. Today, Andy and Chanda, it is Jannik Sinner pulling out with that hip injury. Andy, what was your reaction when you heard this?
This isn't doing much good marketing for these longer events. I'll tell you that right now. And this is so disappointing. Sinner has become a global superstar, and multiply that by 10 in Italy. And he's not going to get a chance to play the biggest event in his home country and kind of take a victory lap of his successes over the last 6 months. This is a huge blow to the tournament. Very disappointing. And we can only hope it's precautionary to guard his health for Roland Garros.
Yeah, this has been a tough blow for these two back-to-back events, Madrid and now Rome, certainly with Sinner. We hope that physically this means he is closer to being fully fit for Roland Garros. You want to take every precaution in these lead-up weeks, so that part is understandable. And we saw him during Madrid for a few matches not really be able to work that hip out satisfactorily. So I think for him, it makes a lot of sense. Hopefully, we will see him fully fit for Roland Garros and able to compete at his best level, because that has been terrific all year long.
Andy, yesterday you said that, you know, Carlos Alcaraz playing Madrid was a big deal. I know we're going to this next Stan Smith thing, but I want to get your thought on the fact that not playing in Italy, not playing in Rome, does that make you more concerned for Sinner?
No, because it's Roland Garros, right? I get if he would have tried to play, he's more likely to try to play, but it feels like this is a very sober decision and a pragmatic decision. It's not all that entertaining for us wanting to watch him in front of his home crowd, but the guy is now in the league where he is going to start from majors and work backwards. He doesn't have to worry about accumulating points. He knows he'll do that. He knows he'll put up the results. He knows he's going to be in the top, you know, one, two, three, four in the conversation. And, you know, he has to make this decision and work backwards from health at Roland Garros.
All right, great point. Back to our guy, Stan Smith, by the way. Tennis having a moment right now. Following, you know, challengers in theaters, we got another movie in theaters right now. Who is Stan Smith telling the story of the Hall of Famer behind the iconic sneaker chant? Some people outside of tennis don't know that Stan Smith won all these majors and stuff.
I've had to tell a few of those people exactly who Stan Smith is. Yes, he is a real man. Yes, he did play tennis at an incredible level, multi-Grand Slam champion, an icon in our sport. But certainly this is long overdue, and you love to see it. We had Stan Smith here in the studio yesterday, Steve giving him a tour, walking him around the place. And, you know, it's just gratifying being in tennis to have someone who is not only the player that Stan Smith was, but also the person that he is, you know, be able to get his accolades and get his due and cash those checks, Steve.
Yeah.
I mean, the Stan Smith shoe, that's iconic.
I had a hilarious moment, Steve, during 2017 when I got inducted into the Hall of Fame and Stan Smith was the president. I had our good friends, John Legend and Chrissy Teigen, were there at the induction, and I introduced them to Stan. And when Stan Smith left, Chrissy goes, "So that's a Stan Smith." It was brilliant. I love it. It was the best.
The director of this film, Danny Lee, said, "When you think about superhero movies, the characters don't really change much. In essence, the story is about them changing the world." And that's how he views Stan Smith. Just a great human, way more than a shoe, but that shoe is something that will be, you know, immaculate for all of time. So go check out Who is Stan Smith in theaters. There was a premiere in L.A. yesterday. Finally, we've got Kwon Soon-woo posting a video of himself training on clay. You got to wait for this for him to come back again, Chanda, but it's not easy to slide on this surface. Take a look.
Oh, I knew. I could tell, Steve. I could tell this was coming. I was a little uncertain on the first two slides. And, yeah, this is... You got to get this out the way. You hate to do it, but you haven't gotten on the clay until you have your first fall. So
he laughed about it.
Yeah.
He got up. He was good. We'll see him playing in Rome. But right now, guess what? We've got the Madrid champ, Iga Świątek, on the desk with Prakash Amitraj. Take it away, Prakash.
Thanks so much, Steve. Iga, what an unbelievable match. Over 3 hours. The quality was so high. You were down 3 match points. What on earth was that little difference that got you over the edge?
Yeah, for sure. This match was really spicy.
Oh, God, come on, Iga. What are you doing to me?
That's not an ad. It was just here. I'm so happy Tennis Channel is giving us right equipment to, I don't know, recover after the match.
You got into my hot sauce stash, Iga. Well done.
No,
well done.
I mean, jokes aside, yeah, for sure. This was one of the craziest finals I played in my life. And I never won such a tight and intense, you know, match in the end of the tournament. So it's making me, you know, super proud that I just could stick, you know, to what I wanted to do till the end. And I didn't lose my focus. And actually, I think in the third set, I was playing the best tennis, so it was pretty crazy that, you know, during the match I needed to, you know, fight over the stress, and I was tight for sure at the beginning, And in third, it happened. So it clicked, I think. So it was still a tight one. So, you know, congrats to Arvina as well for an amazing tournament.
This is your first title here in Madrid, third title of the year. You were so emotional today. You were very fired up throughout the match. And then, you know, you sunk, you laid down at the end as if you had won a Grand Slam. I just want to know where all that emotion came from.
Because honestly, it doesn't matter if it's a Grand Slam or another tournament. You just want to win and you just want to, you know, play your best game at this exact moment, you know. We're not thinking about, you know, if it's Grand Slam, if it's 1,000, if it's 250, if you struggle and if you want to work through it and if you're, you know, giving 100%, it matters the same way. So so any match that I play, I want to win, and I'm super happy that it happened today, because I think this one is going to be pretty important for me, you know, for a long time. And if I'm going to take some lessons from it, I think it's going to give me a lot of, you know, wisdom. So hopefully I'm going to work through it. Hopefully I'm going to recover until Rome. And for sure, it was a really exciting one.
Well, it's one that all of us are going to remember as well. You're 20-4 in finals now, and you've won your last 8 finals in a row. Do you feel like you click into a different gear on that finals day?
Honestly, I wouldn't create any, you know, special story around it, because as you could see, I think we were both today, you know, kind of nervous at the beginning. That's what I felt. I don't know if you could see that from the screen, but sometimes in the finals you have to work differently. It's more about, you know, mental game and attitude and mentality. So so yeah, it's hard for me to like find any pattern why I have such a good start in finals. But overall, I just feel like I'm able to focus, you know, as it is any other match, and it gives me more freedom, you know, to just play my game. So I'm happy that in third set I was sometimes able to do that.
You guys played such a phenomenal final last year. Thought it was one of the best matches of the whole year. And even in the preview, we were talking about, gosh, even if this match is half as good as that, it would be amazing. And this match was even better than that.
I'm happy that you say so.
I'm curious about, do you feel how special the rivalry is becoming between you two?
Yes, for sure. You know, we need this kind of rivalries to push us, you know. And Arvina is such a great player, you know. From the beginning, when I went to WTA, she was always there at the top, you know. So so yeah, I'm happy that we can compete against each other, because she's a great player, and she's working hard, you know, to be better and better. So that's exactly who you need to be kind of by your side when you want to improve as well.
What a special final. Congratulations. Please go enjoy. I know you're not in Rome yet, but have some tiramisu anyway.
Oh my God, I will. I will have like hundreds of tiramisu tomorrow. Trust me.
Congratulations, Diga. Thank you for joining
us.
Steve, back to you guys.
Thanks, Prakash. Great job out there, as always, for the entire tournament. Hopefully, Iga does not put some of Prakash's hot sauce on that tiramisu when she eats it. But, you know, special words, she said herself, I'm not sure how I do it. And then she was like, actually, I'm able to play every match like it's the same and it's not a final. And that seems to be how she does it.
Well, and I think when you put your heart and soul into a match that way, it doesn't matter the occasion. It doesn't matter if it's first or second round. It doesn't matter if it's a final. Regardless of the tournament, you almost lose sight of the occasion, and it's just about the match. It's just about the tennis. And I think that's where we got to in that final with Iga Swiatek against Arina Sabalenka. They were both in the moment trying to figure it out in real time, trying to hit the shots, take their opportunities, execute with what they knew they needed to do. And that is really the elemental part of this game. And it was beautiful to watch in that kind of moment, and to have Swiatek really encapsulate it. It was just a cap on what was a terrific evening of tennis.
It really was. Andy, what did you think of her response to the reaction at the end, and how much it meant, no matter what the event was?
Well, there's a couple things. When you can't tell the difference between a 250, a 1,000, and a Grand Slam, that normally means you've won a bunch of Grand Slams. you know, but I will tell you, like, we talk about different forms of talent, right? And it could be shot making, it could be movement, it could be feel. What we don't talk about enough is the talent of discipline, right? And that's what I think Iga Swiatek has mastered. Right. By her saying first, second round, it's the same thing. I'm dialed in. You don't see her kind of go walkabout in any match ever. right? She's there. She's disciplined. She has that like Steffi Graf thing where every single point of the Nadal thing where every single point they're there and competing and doing the same thing. And then all of a sudden you do that enough times in a week and you end up winning the tournament, right? So the talent of discipline is something that Iga has had her entire career, and it doesn't seem like it's going anywhere.
Yeah, talent of discipline. That's why she's got already 20 titles at the age of 22, and we expect many more to come. Who's going to take the title on the men's side in Madrid? That's what we're breaking down next. Andy and Chanda tell you who they think will bring the wizardry to the Magic Box. Huge opportunity for Felix Auger-Aliassime and Andrei Rublev. We'll break it all down next. Thanks so much, Michael. All right, let's take a look at it. Sunday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, the men's final going down. Felix Auger-Aliassime, Andrei Rublev, head-to-head 4-1 for the Russian. Haven't met on clay in 6 years. Played earlier this year in Rotterdam. Rublev had to save 3 match points to go on to victory. All but one of the pair's previous 5 meetings have gone to 3 sets. Andy, what are your thoughts on this one?
I think Rublev has earned his confidence more this tournament than Madrid. And that's not a slight on FAA. He's done what he's, you know, been called upon to do, right? He's survived the match against Rude. He's lasted longer than his opponents. But Rublev, you really feel, has turned his year around here. The matchup seems to favor Rude. He beat him earlier this year. Indoors is FAA's best surface. Most of his titles have come indoors. So a lot of things point to Rublev here. I would choose Rublev, but listen, that's why you put him in the air, and that's why you play him. Upsets can happen, but I like Rublev in this one.
FAA Chanda, first player in Masters 1000 history to win with retirement or walkovers in 3 rounds at a single event.
It's historic, and I can't recall seeing that happen. Certainly never had that happen, even getting to a final with a retirement that way. But with Felix, I think, you know, to Andy's point, he's played the situations yeah. that have been in front of him, and he has found some good form. Maybe he can really take a lot from that Rude match because he was able to complete it and really elevate his tennis in some critical moments. The other couple of matches where he had the retirements, he got off to good starts. He was the player who was pushing the envelope a bit in the early stages. There's some confidence you can take from that as well. But I do give Rublev the advantage. I think he's going to have a little more time on these courts to really beat on the ball even more. It's been a pretty good matchup for FAA, but I think Rublev right now is playing a different level of tennis yeah. from what we've seen. So got to give him the advantage. But this match could be a lot trickier than we think, just because of how well they play against each other, and I think how much Felix Auger-Aliassime, how much he does enjoy that pace from Rublev. He can really work off of some of those shots.
He'll certainly be well-rested, that's for sure.
That's the other point. And good or bad.
That win over Casper Ruud was his first top 10 win of the year, and for Rublev, reminder, he lost 4 straight matches coming into Madrid and has found his form in the Spanish capital. We are looking forward to it tomorrow. More trophies to hand out here as we say goodbye for TC Live today, but what a match that we witnessed between Iga Świątek and Aryna Sabalenka. Told Prakasha, if you struggle and you work through it, it matters the same way no matter what. Big congratulations to Iga Świątek, her first title in Madrid. 8th win in a row for Iga Świątek on the road to Roland Garros. For Chanda and Andy, I'm Steve. Thanks for watching the show. Our coverage from Madrid continues next.